Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is James Shaw, who is the creative director and partner at Twin Creek Media, which is a full-service marketing agency located in Kelowna, British Columbia. So today we're going to be discussing James' journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, James.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so how did I get into digital marketing? That's kind of the, or is there another first one?
So basically, I'd love to know what kind of motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur.
Oh, okay. Wow, we're gonna start philosophical. Wow. That's a great one. What motivates me as an entrepreneur? Probably the competitive aspect of things. I really enjoy the challenge of figuring stuff out and figuring out how to win for our clients. You know, we'll get into that a bit later with how to maintain happy clients. And then the other thing would be the constant learning and the constant new stuff. Digital marketing is evolving, you know, so fast.
So right? Quickly,
and you have to keep on top of it. So, you know, we've been doing this for a long time, like almost 18 years.
Wow.
And it doesn't feel old. It feels almost like something new every month, every year. So you don't get bored because you don't get a chance to get bored because it's changing so fast.
Of course.
The challenges are always new. So I think that those two things between the challenge of kind of winning and how do we succeed and how do we build the company? And also you don't get a chance to be bored, you know, so that keeps me going.
So how do you, cause you're always juggling, you know, so many different things as an entrepreneur, how do you ensure that you're staying ahead of the curve in an industry that's always evolving?
Make sure you're offering something that people desperately need. So it's about learning what's needed out there in the marketplace. So we have gone countercultural a little bit with most agencies. So most agencies over the years have specialized because there's too much to be good at. So they just kind of, you know, they put this away, they put that away. They become, say, an SEO agency and focus on Google rankings, or they become an expert at email marketing, or they become an expert at social media marketing. So now when you go down and you specialize something, you know, go down that rabbit hole really, really deep, now you can offer that special service to any sort of company, any size of company, really, because you're so good at that one thing. So we decided to be the opposite of that. So a generalist. So when everyone is specializing, who is generalizing, you know, as an agency where you could do a lot of things, maybe not at the very highest level. Not everyone needs the highest level of things. Mm-hmm. So I'm making it sound like we're bad at everything, but we're not at all.
I know what you mean.
So we have 10 people in our company. We're the perfect fit for a certain size company. And those are mid-sized companies. Those are companies that make $500,000 in revenue at least. But often they're making, you know, $10 million in revenue annually. So, you know, that's a mid-sized company in my definition of it. You know, they have 10 employees, 20 employees, 30 employees, but they don't have a marketing department, because to have 10 people as a marketing department would be you know, crazy size. If you only have 20 employees, you're not going to have a 10 people in marketing.
Yes, of course.
So then we are the perfect fit, because for the cost of say one or two employees, they work with our agency, and bam, they've kind of blown out their marketing department in one move, you know. So yeah. We just get involved with their company and we really help them. So so that's kind of our angle, I guess you could say, is working really closely with a certain size company and working with them long term, almost like we're their in-house team, you know.
Yeah, I love that. So tell us a little bit about your story of starting Twin Creek Media. I'm really curious to know I know you've been working in digital marketing for 18 years. So yeah, I'm really curious to learn more about what motivated you to start Twin Creek Media.
Well, the getting into digital marketing was fun, because I had done a number of things before that. This was like my third try at a career, I guess you could say. I went back to school for digital marketing, and it was awesome. I love the creativity side. I love the scientific side of that. But starting Twin Creek Media was an accident. So I had no intention of starting my own company.
Okay.
So I graduated and I was super pumped, and I applied for a couple of jobs and they were $10 an hour. And I was devastated, you know.
Yeah.
And because this was my third kick at the can, my third try at a career, it was later in life. I was in my late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I was married, I had a mortgage, we had a baby. It was nuts. So I could not survive on $10 an hour.
Yeah.
So I, you know, against my own will, really, but I had no choice. I had to start a company. And it was, start a company. It was myself, you know.
Yep.
So I had to go and become a contractor, you know, a freelancer. So in those early days, mid 2000s, 2004, 5, 6, in around there. So I was just, I found out that I could charge people or companies $40 an hour or something close to that.
Yeah.
And that was, they all found that remarkably cheap, you know, because agencies were double that or something like that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would say I can do, you know, your little website or your little video or design up a brochure or different things like that. And I was incredibly cheap compared to what, you know, else the other quotes they were getting. So
yeah.
that's how the company started. It was by accident and out of necessity.
Interesting. Okay, so that started around 18 years ago. Is that when you started Twin Creek
Media? 2004. So we started doing the contracting stuff while still in school.
Right.
The buddy I was in school with, Thomas, eventually became a business partner.
Yeah.
So he's one of the owners of the company currently. We're still together, working together. So
nice.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so that is.
College buddies. Yeah.
Awesome. Love it. And then, so how have you grown the agency, you know, since 2004? How are you working to bring in more leads so that you can grow the agency?
In the early days, it was networking when I was by myself. And this was 2004, 5, 6, you know, was really before social media. So this, I joined Facebook kind of early in 2007. Myself, but there wasn't any social media back then. So it was still old school physical networking, going to events. So I would, drag myself to every business networking event in town. I would email people, call some sometimes, but only if I knew them, no cold calls. So it was all like old school marketing, just getting out there as much as you possibly could and meeting new people. And eventually, you know, you're going to meet people that need stuff that just, and that's being kind of that one man band, you know. It was easy. People always needed something to do with marketing, and digital stuff was just getting going, like website development and Flash was really popular. Flash was an animation program and making things cool and move on the screen. Everyone wanted like a one page website and stuff like that. So I had lots of work. So that was, and then bit by bit, it was more or less growing through reputation. So, it was a few years before I got an office and hired employees. You know, I was by myself for the first 2 years. And but those early days were hard because you're going up and down. You're doing some projects and you have a great month, and then the projects end and it just all your money evaporates because it was just a single project, right? So it was just a roller coaster of financial stuff. And that was very hard to survive, actually, when your expenses were higher. When I was at home, it wasn't as bad because I didn't have any expenses. But when you got an office, you have employees, you have, you know, man, you're suddenly paying out lots of money every month, even if you don't make anything.
Right.
So that was tough. But we grew through reputations very, very slowly, bit by bit, you know, referrals. And but I didn't stop networking. I mean, it was absolutely everything you can do to survive. So the early days are you do whatever it takes, you know, and never give up. And
yeah,
but make sure you're still like have a chance. You know, if people sometimes they're when you say never give up and have, you know, have grit and determination and all this entrepreneurial stuff, people are like, well, what if you're, you know, walking off or running off in the wrong direction? You know, you have to be adaptable to what the market wants and needs. And, you know, are people wanting to hire you? You know, or are you offering the wrong thing to the wrong people? Or the right thing to the wrong people? You know, there has to be a match. As I said, you have to offer something that someone desperately needs.
Yeah. Were there any times where you noticed that you were maybe heading in the wrong direction and you had to pivot and kind of course correct it all?
Yeah. I mean, in 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I mean, we mostly were a web development company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, those are one-time projects. You know, people aren't building a website and then next month want a new one, right? I mean, you build a website. Yes, there's a little bit of maintenance afterwards, but back in the day, people weren't even thinking about SEO. There's no blogs. Like, you know, people didn't put videos up. There's no social media management. Like, there was very little ongoing work when we were considering ourselves a website company. It was like, you start a project, you know, 2 or 3 months later, it finishes and you launch it and everyone celebrates and then they forget about you. You know, so and you had to get another project and another one, another one, another one. You have to have multiple at the same time and they overlap. And sometimes you have way too much and sometimes nothing, you know, and that's where the roller coaster came in. So that was the difficult time. And that was, we had to figure out, well, this isn't very enjoyable, you know, like we either have way too much or hardly anything when it was stop finish projects. So we tried to get a recurring revenue, and bit by bit we added on services like email marketing and then social media a little bit, then photography, and then some video stuff. And bit by bit we became a full service agency. So and then you have ongoing projects that help smooth out your revenue. And that was a big learning experience that took years, but it's definitely the right move, because I would hate to be a company that only had start finish projects.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's such a that's such an important lesson to learn along the way, because yeah, just having that security where you know you're able to forecast how much income is coming in on a regular basis and having that recurring revenue is so important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So is there any, you know, what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown your agency?
Yeah. I mean, money would be the biggest thing. We did kind of talk about that, how to smooth out that revenue curve by adding recurring revenue streams.
Yep.
And then the second biggest thing I would say, hiring people, because I'm not very good at it. HR skills are almost non-existent. It's just not my thing. I'm terrible at that. And but figuring out how to hire good people was like, I don't know, trial by fire. It was just horrible. So and sometimes we got lucky and it had nothing to do with me or my business partner hiring someone that we thought would be any good. It was just, I don't know. I mean, it's still a little bit weird like that, but we were getting a little bit better at reading the signs, you know, interviewing people, asking some unique questions, setting up maybe a process or formal training, you know, probationary period. And, you know, like we just didn't know anything back in the day. You know, it was just we'd hired almost everybody that kind of walked in and say, I can do this. Like, great. You know,
and then learn the hard way.
Yeah. And then learn that's like, and then it took forever to figure out that they probably weren't a very good fit. Mm-hmm. They, maybe they didn't have the skills or experience, but maybe they weren't a cultural fit either. Like didn't, you know, value the same things mm-hmm. or have the same understanding of what it takes, like a work ethic sort of thing.
Yeah.
You've never been a very good 9-to-5er company. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people are amazing, but they come in and they've worked for a very large corporation. Then they walk through our door and we have four people and they're just not used to it. There's no doors to close. They have no office of their own. They have, you know, everything's all, every phone call is like out in the open and everyone hears what you're saying and looking at what's on your screen and mm-hmm. There's nowhere to hide, you know, and there's so much pressure because there's no one to do your stuff. You have no assistance. You're mm-hmm. by yourself. You have to be, so it's just this, so many things. And that, so people coming in from really big corporations and they like, oh yeah, it'd be awesome working a small company and, you know, so agile and everything else. Sometimes they're just in culture shock. Like they have no idea how to function
yeah.
in a little group. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. Okay. And then, so what would you say is the key to maintaining happy clients so that, you know, they're going to, I know you get a lot of referrals from existing customers. Well, what are some ways that you, you know, keep them happy so that they're going to bring in those referrals for you?
Yeah. So we have a couple of things we've kind of built our company around, a couple of values. Mm-hmm. So one of them is loyalty and playing on their team. So, and we do that by literally saying, we're only going to work for your company because it's only one company per industry, per area.
Oh, okay.
So we volunteer exclusivity. So, and that's not super common in the marketing agency world, you know, mm-hmm. You know, there's marketing agencies that they'll work for a real estate company. Right. And then they'll work for another one and another one, and another one, they have 10 in the same city.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you do that? How do you help one person win? And then there's 9 others that you're trying to work for as well. I know you kind of pick apart and how make them different from each other and whatnot, but it's really hard to do that. So, or how do you work for 10, you know, 5 different dentists clinics, you
yeah.
know, or, you know, so we only work with one company per area, per industry. And then we can really dive in and work for them, play for them. You know, it's like a hockey game where you put on their jersey and you're playing on their team, helping them win the game, you know? So we always, before we kind of figured this out and it was like this big conflict of interest and it was like, oh, this is what agencies do all the time. I was like, but it's like you switching teams at halftime, you know? So halftime you put on the other team's jersey and you play for that hockey team. And then you're like, what? Like,
yeah, that's a really good analogy.
I just couldn't get my head wrapped around it. And it's very normal in the marketing world. But I don't know. We didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things. And clients obviously are happier when they know where your loyalty is. And
yes.
You're not doing the same bunch of cool tactics for a competitor across town, you know, and helping them succeed as well. It's tough. So, I mean, if their company is in a different city, then great. We'll take everything that's working well for one company and we can apply it to another company. Mm-hmm. But those companies are far enough apart that they're not competitors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fine. So yeah, I mean, that's one thing. The other thing is transparency. So the way we budget out projects, you know, we see people looking at how much we cost and then how much their marketing or advertising spend is on Google or Facebook or a magazine or, you know, a local website or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So we don't mark up anything. There's no commission made on the advertising spend.
Gotcha. Which,
again, a little bit of a unique thing for a marketing agency. Agencies typically add 15%, 20%,
mm-hmm.
You know, commission on their advertising dollars. So, but I didn't like that. It didn't really feel right. If we're working for a company and we're trying to show them, trying to work in their best interest and help them succeed, I want them to see, okay, we've negotiated hard for this discount on this rate on this, you know, magazine or newspaper, or it's a Google ad spend and we got, you know, you a coupon and we can apply that budget, and, or we're kind of, you know, optimizing things and trying to make their dollar stretch the furthest. You mm-hmm. know, they really see that we're doing the right thing for them. And that's what it comes down to. And they see that and they know we're not making any commission on it. And then so he's like, I think we should stop this and take your budget and do something else and move it over here.
Yeah.
Well, if we make that recommendation, and again, they know there's nothing in it for us. We're not making a commission. We're not like biased because, you know, we're getting a kickback, or the rep over there is like saying, hey, you know what? Well, we're going to bonus you and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, nothing. There's nothing in it for us. So you can legitimately say stuff and people believe it. And again, they're happy because they know we're not trying to screw them over, honestly, or be shady about anything or hide anything or keep anything secret. So we're on their team when we're totally upfront, totally honest about stuff. Good value for money, even though we, you know, we're not the cheapest agency out there. It's not about being cheap. It's about offering value.
Yeah.
When we become a valuable partner for companies, you know, we stick with them for years. They're with us for years. You know, these are long-term partnerships. And we help them grow. Right. And I think through all that, as long as we're, you know, on the same wavelength with everything and communication is good, you know, then they're happy.
You know?
Sometimes it doesn't work and not everyone can get along with each other. So
Definitely.
But that's what we try for.
Yeah. I think those are really great ways that you've really worked to set yourselves apart from other agencies, which is cool. Cause oftentimes, you know, a lot of businesses will say, you know, what sets us apart is our customer service, but I feel like that's such a generic thing to say. And you guys have really said, you know, we're not going to serve it. Like, they're just really unique ways to set yourselves apart from other agencies. So, I love that. Yeah. Saying that you don't take a commission from your ad spend is such a great benefit to your clients. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So where do you see Twin Creek Media in 5 years' time?
I'd like to be double the size. We kind of grow very, very slowly. You know, we're like the moss that grows on the sloth in the tree. Right. I mean, you think 18 years and we only have 10 people. That's like the slowest growing company you've ever seen, right? Ever heard of. But it's just how we are. We like being small and nimble. And again, we're terrible at HR. So we're never going to have 100 people in a company because no one knows what they're doing with that size of a company. Mm-hmm. But the slow growth, we kind of grow in little bursts and then we kind of plateau for a bit and then we grow a little bit more. So I'd love to be twice as big as we are. Maybe not twice as many people, but double the revenue would be great. With maybe only a handful more people. So we had this year is a big rebuilding year. So we hired our team is like six new people and four kind of long termers right now.
Okay.
So the team changed over a lot in the last 3 years. A lot of new people. We're getting kind of to know each other and efficiencies and growth and all that and kind of but 5 years, I'd like to be like double.
Nice. That's a very exciting goal to work towards. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
No.
All right. Well, let's move on to the fast five. So I've got five rapid fire questions for you. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Yeah. So I cheated because I wrote these answers down so that I'd be fast at saying them. So a book that made impact on me, Red Rising. So, and this is just an example. So this is science fiction. So I read a lot of science fiction novels with a personal moral crisis and some larger fate of the universe issue hanging over things. And I like the, you know, philosophy and struggles, and it relates a lot to business, even though it has nothing to do with business. Right. The odd unconventional business book I like as well, like 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss.
Yep.
But I read a lot of science fiction or like fiction in general rather than serious stuff.
That
helps relax me at the end of the day.
Very good. That's awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
I sleep in as late as possible to about 8:30, and then I rush off to work.
Awesome.
So, and actually I don't always rush off to work like Mondays, like today, I work from home and same as Fridays. So our team works remotely on Mondays and Fridays and in the office all together Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay. Interesting. So you guys have like a hybrid.
And that was after COVID. So, you know, COVID got everyone used to working at home full time.
Yeah.
And then, but everyone missed each other, you know, face to face. So when we could go back into the office after COVID, but then 5 days a week in the office was suddenly too much because we weren't used to it after a couple of years of being at home. So, we took it, you know, had a vote basically saying, what do you guys want to do? And yeah, Mondays and Fridays are home. And Wednesday, Thursday in the office together. Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense. It's really cool. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Not especially, but I did find the early lives of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs really interesting. There's a movie about that too, and it was really cool. A lot of lessons to learn from, but often the lessons was in their mistakes or how they treated each other or how they made decisions in their company. Same thing could be said about Mark Zuckerberg, you know, founder of Facebook. So, and the movie as well, like really, really interesting. The ethics and the moral dilemmas and was very interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I know I love reading about the early days and the lessons that they've had to go through and the challenges that they've had to overcome. Cause it's really interesting and really inspiring.
Yeah, totally.
And what is your favorite online tool?
Asana. So Asana is a project management tool. Super awesome, flexible. Yeah.
Our team we use Asana as well in Review Robin, and it's such an incredible tool.
Yeah.
And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Only hire someone better than yourself at something.
That's good. Yeah. Put your ego aside and don't be afraid to be uncomfortable with not being the smartest person in the room.
Totally. And in fact, if you don't do that, I think your company's set up for failure. So if you're not hiring people that are better than you at something, you're not growing your team. You're not expanding it and having their strengths add to your weaknesses.
Yeah.
So, now the double-edged sword of that was when I didn't want to do sales in my own company, I kept hiring salespeople, right? Because I didn't want to do it, but the salespeople never understood the business as well as I did.
Yes. Right?
And didn't have that same, pressure to succeed, like the fire to succeed, like this is all or nothing, especially the early days I'm talking about, like way back. But I kept trying to outsource that role in the company because I hated sales. And anyway, that's not a fast answer to that question, but
it's a good lesson because sometimes, you got to really evaluate where your time is best spent, and it can be challenging if it's a job that you really don't like, but I know sales is one of those things that it's so important as an entrepreneur to really, constantly be studying, I think, and mastering.
Yeah. And I would go around telling people like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, well, I'm out here, I'm meeting new people and stuff. It's like, but I'm an introvert. I'd rather not be here. And I hate sales.
Yeah.
And people are like, how? And then, it would, then they would ask me a question about a website or about how to use Facebook for business. And it just lit up my imagination. And then I was so excited about something. And I explain how it works and what you can get and what the results are. And they're like, oh, can you help me with that? And I had accidentally sold a service, right?
Yeah.
But it was through education. It was through just literally being excited about, the potential of something.
Yeah.
And because the idea was exciting. And anyway, so I didn't sell anything. I never looked at it as sales. I realized that my selling style is just education. Just teaching someone something new and cool and just being excited about it and getting them excited about it. Okay, let's try it. Let's go. Let's do it.
Build that thing. I love that. Like taking the mentality of being helpful instead of being salesy necessarily.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
The hiring, most of the mistakes were made in that area, with the HR stuff. So probably, hiring, only hire someone that's better than you at something. That would be the biggest lesson I would go back in the past and tell myself.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, James. It was a pleasure to learn about your journey as an entrepreneur and your story of growing your agency. So thank you for joining me for today's episode.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And it's been really fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.